At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the Porsche Cayenne specs are leaked, the Peugeot E308 adds range, and the Suzuki e-Vitara begins production. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you which territory may soon be able to use Tesla's full self-driving supervised. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. Today is Thursday, August 28th. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. And welcome to a new podcast producer. That'll be you, Kyle. Well, Kyle Aman signed up to be a new producer of the podcast. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. You fund this show, and you are part of the EV News Daily community. You too can be just like Kyle. Click on a link in the show notes. Porsche's Cayenne Electric has had its details leaked, emerging online. And this is a doozy. The new Porsche Cayenne Electric, using the same premium platform electric, PPE, as the Porsche Macan, is considerably better. It'll come with a 113 kilowatt hour battery. That's gross, by the way. Usable in the Cayenne will be 108 kilowatts, so it's a big boy. The Cayenne uses two cooling plates compared to the one in the Macan. That is giving a more advanced liquid cooling system, and that improves the charging power. And that goes from 270 kilowatts peak in the Macan to 400 kilowatts peak in the new Porsche Cayenne. We have a new charging monster on the block, and it has a Porsche badge on the front. 400 kilowatts just sets a huge bar in that segment. With this, the Cayenne will charge 10 to 80 in 15 minutes. Okay, so good luck finding a 400 kilowatt DC fast charger for a start outside of China. I joke, but there are some around. 10 minutes of charging, more realistically, would give you about 186 miles under WLTP of range. Look, a couple of hundred miles of driving in a 10-minute stop. That, if you're not doing that, it's not even safe for your concentration levels. And so this is just peak EV, right? This is better than combustion. This is better than anything you can do with, you know, filling up a tank of fuel. Oh, well, my diesel tank, when it's full, says 700 miles. Okay, you drive that without taking a break. Good luck with your attention span for safety. Look, just stop regularly and have a coffee. The electric Cayenne will come with dual motors as standard, as in previous Porsche EVs. They'll be permanent magnet synchronous motors with hairpin windings in the stator. Some high-performance models may switch from water jacket to oil cooling for even more performance. The Cayenne Electric has a two-speed gearbox, as we're familiar with in Porsches now, and total range 373 miles, that's 600 Ks on WLTP. Three power versions planned. Now, you know, they always stick with the base model. There's the 4, the 4S, Turbo, Turbo S6. It's the way Porsche has always done it, even in electric world. However, to start with, a base model, the Cayenne 4, 300 kilowatts of power. A Cayenne 4S for about 500 kilowatts of power, and a Cayenne Turbo, 1,000 horsepower in launch control mode. And the model line manager, Michael Schaltzel, says that the number of Cayenne variants will be limited. Unlike the Taycan, the Cayenne Turbo will do 0 to 62 miles an hour in less than 3 seconds. It'll get to 124 miles an hour, that's around 200 Ks, in less than 10 seconds. Man, what a feeling. Driving a car, it's very special, knowing that in about 10 seconds' time, you could be doing 200 kilometres an hour faster than just about everything around you. Now, look, you can't use that on many public roads, but this is a German brand. On autobahns, it needs to perform. Okay, so you'll eat through the battery very fast. Other key features include electric servo motors on the dampers and rear axle steering for 5 degrees of angle. Cayenne Electric arrives in November. Wow, wow, wow. Porsche have turned it up again with the Cayenne. We thought the new refreshed Taycan was special, but certainly in a form factor like this, in an SUV form factor, which is oh so popular, that is going to be what a vehicle. What a vehicle. All right, we'll tell you more about it when we get more details here at EV News Daily. Let's move on and something a little more family-oriented right now. The Peugeot 308. The hatchback and the estate, first released in 2021, gets a dynamic new front end. The new look on the front design matches the 3008 and 5008. Improves the aero as well, so you get more miles. Inside, minor changes, updated graphics for the infotainment system and digital cluster. The car offers mild hybrid, diesel, plug-in hybrid and fully electric. Plug-in hybrid uses a 1.6-litre four-cylinder petrol engine, 192 horsepower with the electric motor. The battery, 17.2 kilowatt hours. That's 53 miles or 85 Ks of electric only driving. That's a good bump up from about 49 miles. The electric E308, though, keeps the existing motor but gets a bigger battery. That goes usable 51 to 55.5. So with the better aero from the front end as well, that's a good range bump. You now go from 254 to 281, 281 miles of range. Look, that's pretty much good enough for just about everybody, isn't it? Look, 300 miles of range. I know some people, I can't have less than 400 miles of range in my EV. I can't possibly use it. All right, fine, whatever. But near on 300 miles of range in a family EV, like a Peugeot E308. Now, I know, I tend to think these vehicles are cheaper than they are. The plug-in hybrid 38.8 or 38 grand, maybe the E308, they will probably bring in 5 quid under 37 or just make it £37,000. That means that all variants, all higher trim specs of that powertrain will also get the government grant as long as the base model, if you like, comes in at less than 37. So I think they'll price it at, I don't know, 36,995. Which is still a lot of money to me, but I know I'm old, and so. But that is kind of the price now of a basic family car, and still, the UK government insist on adding a bunch of money in the £40,000 luxury car tax, which they still impose. And you know, you can spec a Peugeot E308 over 40 without much effort, and that's, my friends, not a luxury car by any stretch of the imagination. All right, now maybe they'll look at that one day. Now let's talk about Maruti Suzuki, India's largest car maker. They just started making its first electric vehicle, the e-Vitara, at their Hansel Pure plant in Gujarat. This partnership between India and Japan will produce both left and right-hand versions of the e-Vitara for more than 100 countries' export markets like Indonesia, Philippines, South Africa and Thailand, plus places in developed countries in the West like France, Germany, Japan and the UK. The eVitara was first shown late last year. They'll make 67,000 of them by March next year for export. The first ones will go to Europe. Sales start in the autumn. eVitara comes in standard range front-wheel drive, long-range front-wheel drive, and long-range all-wheel drive. The standard front-wheel drive uses a 49 kilowatt-hour battery. Meanwhile, the long-range and all-wheel drive versions use a 61 kilowatt-hour battery, made by BYD. By the way, the batteries in those, they have a 106 kilowatt motor, WLTP'd at 214 miles on the little battery and 265 on the big battery for the two-wheel drive versions. Now, BYD is exporting vehicles to Europe, and this is a clever move. BYD started sending cars made in Thailand to Europe. Over 900 BYD Dolphins are being shipped to Germany, Belgium, and the UK. These cars left on BYD's own ship, as you know, BYD, massively vertically integrated. They even have their own car carriers. BYD, the Zhengzhou, making its first journey from Thailand to Europe. The Rayong plant opened last July. It's BYD's first passenger car factory outside China. It can make 150,000 vehicles a year. The cars are being built using completely knockdown kits. Not semi-knockdown kits, but the completely knockdown method. Meaning that parts arrive at the factory from China, they're assembled in Thailand, and then they carry on their journey to the UK and the EU. Now, this method lowers import taxes. Now, we don't have the big EU taxes on Chinese vehicles here in the United Kingdom, but it also does promote local assembly in Thailand, and yes, it does circumvent the extra EU taxes. A smart idea. The European Union set anti-subsidy rules, Chinese-made EVs. BYD did comply with the EU investigation, so they got a reduced rate of 20.7% tariff and the 10% which existed already. From January to July, BYD sold over 500,000 EVs overseas. Now, Hyundai is going to reveal a new subcompact concept. That's easy for me to say. Make sure I do it nice and slowly. The new subcompact concept. Hyundai will show it at the Munich IAA Motor Show next month. The electric vehicle will be an alternative to the Bayon in the subcompact segment. Hyundai says it's a forward-thinking vision to the future. The concept will highlight the next phase of their design. The new production model will sit between the Insta and the Kona in Hyundai's range. IONIQ 2, anybody? Teaser images show a design like the IONIQ 6, a rear-lipped spoiler, a slim LED light bar at the front, a 400-volt version of eGMP platform. Hyundai says the production version will go on sale late next year. First deliveries possibly coming pretty much immediately. The price will be £25,000 in the UK, like the Kia EV2, but it'll obviously have a much later arrival than the Kia EV2. More Hyundai news to bring you next, and Tesla and EU US regulation stuff, plus a lot more. Stick around. Back in a mo.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Okay, next story today, and Hyundai has patented a new use of copper
in solid-state battery cells with a sulfide-based electrolyte. Now, in the past, copper couldn't be used in these cells, so more expensive and less efficient metals were used. Now, copper can replace nickel or stainless steel as the inside conductor. The patent describes a battery made of six layers: a copper anode collector, a protective coating, the anode, the electrolyte, the cathode, and another current collector. The outermost layer can still use a cheaper metal like aluminium. The patent says the design allows the battery to keep a higher capacity over many charge cycles and boosts both capacity and performance. This change will make solid-state batteries cheaper and easier to produce, which would help electric vehicles have longer ranges, lower battery costs, and that's what we all want, right? Now, Tesla is considering a price hike of the Model Y. Never a bad thing to leak that you are considering putting prices up to get any fence sitters to sign on the dotted line, as it were. Or that should be digitally sign it, because that's how you buy a Tesla. Reports say Tesla is thinking about raising the price of the Model Y as demand increases before the end of the $7,500 federal tax credit on September 30th. Now, as I told you yesterday on the podcast, new rules from the IRS. You don't have to have your vehicle delivered. You have to have signed a contract to buy it, and then Tesla could take another 6 months. Well, I mean, however long. It depends on model spec and stuff. But what I'm saying is, you put your money down, deposit, non-refundable, you agree to buy the car, and then there is no deadline after that. I'll check. I mean, could it be like 5 years? There must be a deadline to get the federal tax credit. So the September 30th thing has some leeway now, which is very, very good. Raj Jagannathan, Tesla's new head of sales operations, said that on X that strong demand is making Tesla speed up production and could lead to a price hike soon, saying, and I quote, trending toward a need to expedite output even further, which could mean adjusting pricing upward in coming days. Trying hard not to, we'll see. That sounds like a text tweet that Musk himself would have written. Staccato, to the point, kind of, you know, teasing, but we might put prices up. And so, hey, if you're going to buy one now, I guess is what they were saying. Right now, Model Y rear-wheel drive starts at $44,990. Still a stellar deal. Now, Jagannathan's comments come after Tesla raised prices on other models. They added $15,000. To the Cybertruck. I didn't report that news at the time, by the way, because, well, no one's buying Cybertrucks, and it was a busy day of news, and something always has to get dropped from the podcast, doesn't it? I can't, otherwise it'd be an hour long! So I didn't report that news a few days ago, because it was, I don't know, it was a busy day. But yeah, they added $15,000 to the Cyber Beast. Does it affect anyone? No, no one's buying that vehicle anymore. It's not a dud, so to speak, but yeah, we'll see. And the new Lux package was added to the S and the X, wasn't it? And so Model Y looks like an even better deal for now. Okay, what about the kind of cars that you and I can buy? Let's talk about that. The European Union and the United States are negotiating a new trade deal. This is all kind of boring trade deal stuff, but what's interesting for you and I is that it could include a mutual recognition of each other's vehicle standards. Now, I'm a little worried about this, but let's see where it goes. The unified approach would make it easier to sell smaller, more affordable vehicles like electric ones in the United States. Right now, cars for the US market are being heavily redesigned to meet federal crash rules. This raises production costs and is tougher on lower priced cars. Margins are thin, so you don't redesign them. Electric vehicles could gain the most because they don't have to then additionally meet emissions rules for gasoline vehicles. Some European experts are worried, though, because the European rules on pedestrian safety are much harsher. It's why the Cybertruck, one of the reasons Cybertruck isn't sold over here. We don't have large American pickup trucks. You can import them in very small numbers, but we don't drive big pickup trucks. The tall, blunt fronts, some of them, you know, higher than, I mean, crikey, the big vehicle's higher than a person, but certainly higher than children. They perform extremely poorly in pedestrian crash safety tests. And so, yeah, we wouldn't want to lower the EU. Well, we're not in the EU, in the United Kingdom, of course, but we wouldn't want to lower our own standards. This is a whole conversation I see going along online in the media about food standards as well. You know, in places, the United States has lower food standards than some places in Europe. And, you know, do you compromise? Do you do trade deals and things like that? So we'll wait and see where it ends up. It's unclear if the final agreement will unify standards, but I'll keep you in touch. It could mean that more vehicles are available in more places. And I guess for my US listeners who maybe live in more urban areas, who, you know, hate the cliche of all Americans driving massive pickup trucks and looking, we'd like a small EV, please, to get around town, this could open up some more possibilities for you. Now, Blink Charging has joined with the Luxembourg-based Next Lab to offer energy management solutions for companies with electric vehicle fleets in Europe. Blink EV's charging stations are now included in Next Lab's platform in Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, and Luxembourg. The SmartMaster platform connects EV chargers with inverters and energy storage into one whole system. It's designed to cut the operating costs, make running an EV more efficient, and boost energy independence by managing peak demand and removing demand charges. The system talks directly with types of energy devices through the standard industry protocols, making smart charging a more coordinated affair. Lots of work is going on in the background in things like this for standardization and for making sure that the grid, the batteries, the cars can all be further integrated. Now, 2/3 of UK EV drivers said they've waited more than 10 minutes to charge in the last year, says a new survey by Direct Line. They're an insurer over here. And that seems ridiculous. Okay, let me say that stat once again that Direct Line put out today. Two-thirds, that's a big number, right? Two-thirds of UK EV drivers said they've waited more than 10 minutes to publicly charge in the last 12 months. This is research that doesn't resonate with me in the slightest. It doesn't resonate with anything else. I do this daily, as you know. Sorry. And I've been doing it for 7 years. And a survey by a very big, reputable company, Direct Line, seems like, you know, they're certainly, if you're not in the UK, they're not a fly-by-night company. They're a big insurer with, you know, many layers of corporate oversight. I would have thought somebody there would have gone before signing this off, and whether they commissioned a piece of external research, maybe Direct Line just got their PR agency to put this out to generate a quick headline. You know what PR agencies have got to do? They've got to, you know, got to earn their money, haven't they, when they've got that that PR contract? But this seems very wrong to me. They asked 1,000 EV owners. Who were those owners? What kind of cars did they drive? Where were they? Was it an internal Direct Line survey of 1,000? It's a massive company. Like, there could be easily be 1,000 people in Direct Line that drive EVs. I don't know, but 2/3 of people have waited more than 10 minutes? Okay, let me carry on. The Direct Line survey says the average wait for a public charger is 22 minutes, and some drivers wait for up to 2 hours at motorway service stations. All right, now, again, I find this piece of research. The average wait time for a public charger is 22 minutes. And you wait. I've definitely waited at a motorway service station, some of the ones with 6 or 8 chargers on a busy day. And you pull up, and you're, oh no, they're all full. Is there a queuing system? Maybe there's a couple of cars with green number plates sitting nearby. Do I need to charge? If you don't, you maybe go to the next one, right? And so, I don't know. Direct Line said, let me carry on. Direct Line says the shortage is made worse when non-electric cars park in charging bays or when plug-in car owners take up space without charging. Yep, I don't disagree with that. That's all very valid. One of my bugbears is EV drivers, who largely are a decent bunch of people. I see someone's put it in the bay and not plugged it in. Not even just plugged it in and pretending to charge, not plugged it in. Come on, that is bad behaviour. You aren't entitled to park there. You're blocking a charging space. 64% of people asked said chargers were often broken or out of order. They go on to say a bit of data and stuff, like in the first 7 months of the year, 15 new charging stations were added each day, but then they also point out it's down from 54 a day last year. This seems like they've taken every opportunity to bash EVs. I'm sure they're not. I don't think Direct Line is an anti-EV company by any stretch of the imagination. I think they want you to insure your EV with them. But this is a really negative piece of research. I think we should always highlight when stuff like this gets reported. And, you know, if you can do your own thinking, like I know you can, and you read this, and you go, this doesn't seem right. Half of non-EV drivers said the main reason for not buying an EV was the poor charging network. Now, why they've put this out, I don't know. This seems, I have huge question marks. All I would finish off by saying about this is I've worked for small companies and I've worked for big ones. Very large organizations, you know, publicly traded and stuff. Don't confuse or don't mix up incompetence for malice is all I'll say. I don't think Direct Line is a nasty anti-EV company. I just think this is a bit of rubbish research, to be honest with you. I think that I meet more incompetent people in big companies than I do people that want to do harm. You know, I think everyone tries to do the right thing. You know, you end up with like 50 layers of management to sign things off. And no one speaks up in meetings. No one goes, hang on, this is blatantly wrong. You just sit there and go, well, I've got to pay my mortgage at the end of the month, so I'm just going to sit here in this meeting or Zoom call and not say anything. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll reach out further and say, to tell me more about this research. It seems so wrong. Now, a couple more stories. The EU auto industry is urging regulators to slow down. The Mercedes-Benz CEO and also the president of the ACEA, that's Ole Kolenius, has written to the EU Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, stressing the support for the 2050 net zero goal overall, but saying, look, 2035 for EVs is unrealistic. That was the phrase they used, unrealistic, citing nearly total dependence on Asian battery suppliers, lack of charging stations, same old shtick, higher production costs, US tariffs. That's a new tool that they're arguing with, asking the EU to rethink the current requirements of being zero emission by 2035, saying it is unrealistic at the minute. Now, there's a great YouTube channel out there. Tobias Wagner, the e-trucker, has launched his own app. Now, he's got an amazing YouTube channel. There is a dubbed version in English, by the way. And when I say it's amazing, if you don't mind watching somebody for 20 minutes driving their e-truck around Europe and talking about the charging experience, which, you know, is my idea of a good time, by the way. He is a professional truck driver for the company Nano Janssen. He drove over 100,000 kilometers across Europe last year. He used different e-truck models, and he's just documenting it all on YouTube. And now he's launched his own app. It's called the e-trucker app, and it gathers and confirms information about truck-compatible charging stations in Europe, including user feedback in Spain, Portugal, the UK, Belgium, and Romania. Saying that early on, truck companies used apps made for passenger cars, which misses details. Look, I've seen him on his channel having to unhitch his trailer and then park his cab at a weird angle just to use an Ionity station that was designed for cars, really. And so he makes it work. It's not without its challenges, but he makes it work. Things like entrance widths, access conditions, truck suitability. He's got his own app now. I'm so pleased to see his channel grow as well. Absolute legend. Now, finally, videos from Australia show that, suggest even, that Tesla's full self-driving may launch soon there. The footage, shared on social media, shows Teslas driving around by changing lanes, slowing for traffic and handling curves on their own. One video posted by Man of Many, journalist Ben McKim, comments the system quickly handles real-world situations, saying the car performs manoeuvres like a human driver. Another video from Sydney has further fueled hopes that Australia could be one of the first right-hand drive markets to get FSD. Tesla stresses that drivers must always pay attention if they're using FSD supervised. The system is designed to handle intersections, roads with lanes, multiple lanes, and traffic signals. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show as well on Patreon. If you do, thank you, individuals, organizations. Our premium partners get a daily mention to let the whole EV community know they're fully behind the move to EV. And that'll be you, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. Remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.